Like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. And as we're approaching a change by way of clock and calendar, and keeping in mind that you had a wonderful birth of some kind, so you all are here because you've been born physically, and you are all going to die if the Lord doesn't come physically. You had a birth and you have a death. You are destined for it, like it or not, apart from the Lord's coming. So here we are, realistically looking at things. But God, you gave us a birth so that we could enter into an arrangement with you by way of your saving grace to be saved. So you put us here on earth in order that we might be placed into your eternal heaven. So thus, with that in mind, so when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, You exercise your right and privilege. That's why you were born physically. You were born physically in order to get saved. You understand that? How do I know that? Well, God says so. Besides that, God said, before the foundation of the world, I died for everyone. So I intended to save everyone. I didn't intend to leave anyone out. So when we're all born by way of God's grace, you can't be born unless God gives you life, physical life, then you have to know you're born physically to be born spiritually. Now, having said that little bit, then exercising now the right, the privilege, the meaning. What's it mean to be born physically and then spiritually? And what are we looking at? Chapter 15 in verse 19. If ye were of the world, the Lord said, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, the world system that doesn't want to get saved, doesn't want to enter into the arrangement God has made from eternity for them, they don't want that. Therefore, they don't get it. But they aren't happy if you get it. So when a person comes to know the Lord as a Savior, then the world really isn't happy. The satanic world that surely knows it, the fleshly world, humans, may not understand someone safe. Over to Hebrews, and in chapter 10, 11. Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded, how did the Old Testament believers enjoy and they understood, and they were way back there. They didn't have any of the information we do, comparatively at all. They did. And how did they hang in there? And what were they looking for? Here's the rising and falling of nations and wars and everything. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 13, you recall. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So way back then, here they are, and they're looking to something in the future. They weren't looking to anything in front of them. It was down the road, and they were looking for that. That's what gave them the incentive to hang in there and keep going, the wonderful hope they had. And they had that Now, having said that little bit, then we want to exercise it, if we can, a little bit. Now, if you would go over with me, please, to Ephesians. In Ephesians, if I can, in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in the light of the fact that we are about to leave the year, like it or not, ready or not. Now, there are two things wonderful that we have to exercise in order to do things as we should. A, there are two words, actually. One is the word yesterday, and the other is the word tomorrow. And both of those need to be handled rightly so that we can handle the present moment in which we live. Therefore, A, leaving the past. I have to leave the past properly. I don't want to hang on to the past. I don't want to linger in it. I don't want any baggage wrongly going forward. I need to leave the past. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, world system, that's why the world system hates believers, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we, every one of us, no matter when you were saved, if you were saved, in our past we had a day when we were unsaved. We were unsaved. And sliding over to verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, the Jews called the Gentiles such. Now, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that was, if you're unsaved, then that's where you are. But if you come to know the Lord as your Savior, then you want to take the advantage and exercise it. Then the past, it's all past. You once were unsaved, no question. Ephesians 1. And in verse 6, to the praise, well, I'm going to read verse 3, 5 for a little better movement. Having predestinated us, marked out ahead of time, unto the adoption, placed as full children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, we were saved, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored, in the Beloved, in whom Christ, in whom the Beloved Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, when you got saved, in order to get saved, you had to recognize that Christ died for all your sin. And since Christ died for all your sin, which is what you're recognizing, that's why your sin is forgiven, because you've received him. And you understand Christ died because of your sin and my sin. And Christ did that. So when we leave the past, we need to understand that we're no longer in the past. It's all gone. It's all past. You can't have it back. No more than Israel could go back to Egypt. No more than Israel could go back to the wilderness. Israel had to go forward, like it or not, ready or not, that's where they are today, in a very difficult place. Now, in the light of that, so we need to understand the past. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, in chapter 4, and in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So that's all identifying our state. Before we came to know the Lord as our Savior, we were without God, blind, dead in trespasses and sin. That's how we were. Now, in the process, we need to understand what? God has a wonderful plan for the believing heart. Chapter 5, and picking up in verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, all of yesterday, leaving all of the past, I want to understand that because God said it is past. So, I didn't say it, you didn't say it, God said it. It's past. Past means past. All over. All gone. All past. Now, and therefore, we need to understand that. So when I'm going forward each hour of the day, as we go, I understand yesterday is all past. I can't retrieve 1 minute of it. I can't go back 5 minutes ago, and neither can you. You can't retrieve it. It's all gone. All gone. And in the next 5 minutes, that will surely be gone. All gone. So the past, I have to leave the past with understanding. And God says, do you understand? It's gone. So we have to keep, understand yesterday, the baggage, the moving forward with things. If we do that wrongly, then we're wrong. And it's very hard, as you'll see, to go forward successfully because we got too much of the past. We're trying to pull all the baggage and pull everything that's already passed. And you can't pull it back in any way, shape, or form. You can talk about it, think about it, write a book about it, but you can't change it. You can't change it. So what do we do with the past? Past, we have to go by faith. And we know in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We go from faith to faith, Romans 1:17. We go each day, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time. We trust God, go forward, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, we next thing. And we go by faith, and we walk by faith. And that's the only way to walk. And we understand when we go that way, that we, as we go that way, we're privileged to make sure, because all the sins are forgiven, all done. But in order for me to enjoy that properly, I need to remember something else. 1 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 11. First Corinthians in chapter 11, just reminding ourselves, and if I can, and we're going to go by faith, and we understand that we can go forward. That yesterday's past, that's right. And 1 Corinthians 11, in the light of the context, let me read directly. Verse 30, for this cause, many are sickly among you, and many sleep that have died. Verse 31. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that purpose, we should not be condemned with the world. So God, you're going to discipline us as a father, Hebrews 11. Uh-huh. But I want you to know, you judge yourself. So as you go, yesterday's all gone, no matter how, what, when, whatever. But you judge yourself. And if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. If you do it, I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. If you do it, I don't have to. Enough. Wow. And you know, without turning there at the moment, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 10, if we say we have no sin, we what? Make him a liar. We deceive ourselves. So we got to get that. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sin. All we do is confess. judge yourself, it's all over. So how do you want to go forward tomorrow with a clean, tonight, before you go to bed, with a clean slate? You have to understand that God, the past is gone. And we tend to, memories, we have memories and interactions and what's going to happen tomorrow with who, what, when, where. And we have all of these things. Now, so we want to have also in our mind that if I deal with it, deal with my yesterday, and I deal with it. Now, God has already dealt with it. God has already dealt with it, else I couldn't be saved to be forgiven. If I haven't been forgiven totally, I couldn't be saved. So God, that's done. But for my personal enjoyment, for my personal freedom in having a little extra something if I could need it, if I judge myself, God will not judge me. Think of Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause. Start with me before you start anywhere else. And it's all over. Finished. You got a clear slate. How can you ask for more than that? With God. Your sin problem isn't with other people. It's with God. No one else. We can goof up in all kinds of ways with people. But sin is against God. And the only one that can handle that is God. No one else can do it for you. No beads, no wheels, nothing. God has to forgive it. God has to judge it, which he does. He's already did that when he died on the cross. So now, here I am. I'm going to leave the past. I'm going to leave it with understanding, and I'm going to leave it with thanksgiving. I want to make sure I go with thanksgiving. And in the process of going, and remember, I don't want to continue. I don't want to keep the past. I want to make sure I drop the past. I don't want to live in the past. That's sometimes people do that. They're living in the past. You don't want to live in the past. You can't live in the past. It's only a memory, an illusion. That's all it is. You have to forget the past in the right way. It doesn't mean you forget everything. Someone gave me a picture today, a picture I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know the internet computer could produce such a thing. Way back when my father, on Chestnut Street in Boston, silversmith, back when the silversmiths, when Paul Revere, just like Paul Revere, the whole shop was. I remember, I used to be a little boy. Grew up there almost. Wow. And in there, and one of the people I know found a picture of the shop with Mr. Gabeline, the original owner, and the crew, the people that were working there then, with my father in the middle of it. And I knew some of them. And in the process, I said, they gave me that as a little something. I thought that was, something. Now, but that's the past. That's the past. And it was interesting to look at it. Well, I said, wow. How about that? Huh. But that's the past. And you can't carry that forward. You can't carry whatever. You've been married X years. And next days, whatever you have, whatever difference it make, it's all gone. You worked at Joe's sweatshop for 10 years. That's all gone. All that you may still work there, but that 10 years is gone. It's all gone. All you're doing is moving into the present. So you have to be very careful you don't live in the past and don't bring the past forward. And you want to do it with thanksgiving. And looking to God, and you want to be thankful that God has put it all aside, and that the process of that, we want to learn from yesterday. We don't want to be stupid about yesterday. We don't want to repeat it. I want to learn from yesterday. That's true. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and everything, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. and is able to go, and God is faithful and puts us through all kinds of things, test and trial and trouble, but God's going to be there to get us through. And so we're walking by faith, going to walk by faith. And in the process, we're going to look to God, and we're going to learn, we're learning, over to Romans. Romans chapter 7. And we are going to be educated, so we're looking for education, and you're looking for what kind of lessons, course, lies ahead. Well, this is what lies ahead. Not behind you, what's ahead. And Romans chapter 7, what did you learn so far from the past? Well, you learn that in verse 18, you have to read it, in me dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's good. And then, but if you keep growing and you're going to be thankful, you're going to say, O wretched man that I am, verse 24, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? So I'm living in a body, and the body I live in is dying and has all of its problems, reflecting the sin of my own heart apart from God's grace. And so therefore, verse 25, I thank God, though through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So God, I'm going to be very thankful. I'm going to leave the past. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to benefit from it. I'm going to go forward. And by faith, that's what you told me to do, walk by faith. And I'm going to do it thankfully. Thankfully, even though I'm discovering, boy, I wish I didn't have to judge myself. I wish I didn't sin, but you do. I wish you didn't say, think, do what you do. And you have to say, God, oh, wretched man that I am, eventually. And it catches on that, God, I am. And thank God for saving me. Wow. Now, in the light of that, you got to learn. In the light of learning from yesterday, you want to be able to live in the present, and you want to live in the present with understanding. You want to live in the middle of what we're doing with understanding. So over in Ephesians, again, and God, here we are. We want to understand. This is where I'm going to live right now. I can't go back to yesterday. It's all gone. I want to practice now. And God, you're going to tell me all kinds of things to help me. Verse 18, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, God's expectations, what is God expecting, and the riches of the glory of the inheritance, of his inheritance in the saints. So God has deposited his riches in the human heart. He did so when he gave you and you received his Son as your Savior. He gave you all of that wealth and all of that treasure when you received him as your Savior. And that inheritance that is yours, God wants you to understand. That's God's now. You're bought with a price. God wants you. God is looking now. You are extremely precious and valuable to God. Not because of you and me, but because of Christ that you've received as your Savior. And you have a phenomenal, awesome relationship to God. I know you don't feel that, and you aren't supposed to feel it, do you understand? You're supposed to understand it. Understand it. It's the way it is. I'm here on planet Earth because of my earthly parents. I'm here on planet Earth forever, into forever, because of my heavenly Father. Now, so here in Ephesians we shared in verse 1, and just think of, if you would, all kinds of ways. Over, if you would, to you aren't far away from Colossians. Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. And you remember, here's the thing, all the prayers you want to pray, prayer, answer, know what God said, God wants. Colossians 1 verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to have a wonderful, I want you to live in the present with a great deal of understanding. I want you to have that understanding. I want you to understand that God wants you. So why am I still here? Why did I get out of bed today? Why is my heart still beating? It's still beating because God isn't finished. And God, I can't go back to yesterday, not at all. And I'm going into the present with understanding, and I'm going to go there with that in mind. And God, I'm looking to you to work it all out, and I'm going to trust you. And that's where my life is, over if you would, to 1 John. 1 John and chapter 5, and tying it in your refresher in your mind, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, I got the Son, received the Son of my Savior. And thus, verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Christ Jesus Christ. Christ, either the Son of God's in you and you have life or you don't. This is the true God, verse 20, and eternal life. So God, you have done something wonderful for us, and you have done that, and we ought to understand we're going to come by faith. We understand we are a new creature in Christ, and you have saved us in a most wonderful way. We need to have an understanding of why we're still alive and what we're doing, so we can go to work properly, we can go to school properly, we can handle hardships, pain, all kinds of things in our life. Growing up, the children, you got to help people, you got to be an example to them. God, you have to help us to be able to do these things. And so now, God, we need to have an understanding. You're living in the present. We need to do so by faith. By faith. Remember now, if you took, well, you're right here. Why not? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We're going to go by faith with understanding. That's how we live. Christ saved us. We have a wonderful relationship to Christ. God in us. And thus in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So all of that is being cleaned up, and anything that isn't cleaned up, then you judge yourself and get it out of the way, or 1 John 1:9, you confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we're going to go by faith. We walk by faith. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And we're going to trust God as we go forward in every way. Over to Galatians and in chapter 2. You know, a wonderful statement, but you need to see its relevancy. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am still living. That's why I get out of bed. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the life I have. That's what I'm doing. I'm living in the present, in the understanding. I'm a saint. I'm called into fellowship with his dear Son, etc. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, we're able to look to you with all our heart and go forward in a most wonderful way. And so we're going to have a living in the present with understanding. We're going to do so with by faith. We're going to go by faith, no question about it. And in the process, we need to do so with thanksgiving. And if you, we want far away, let's see, Ephesians is closer. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be very thankful, always thankful, always thankful for yesterday's gone. Thank you very much. Today, the present, I'm in it. Thank you, God, I can even be in it. Thank you, I'm alive to feel the pain, heartache, headache, to be able to live in a world, to hear Israel's problems and the UN's stuff and all of that. Wow. To be able to be exposed to it in a marvelous way. Ephesians chapter 5, picking up if I can, in verse 20. Giving thanks always, 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 for all things, unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why are we giving thanks for everything? Because God's involved. There are no accidents. There's no thing that is going to happen, say, wow, chance. No, it isn't. It isn't going to happen. For the world, they got all of that stuff to deal with. Once you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you don't have that. Why? Because the body is bought with a price. And every part of the body has to function. God made it in the first place. And to keep it functioning in the way He wants, to the degree He wants, so that we are fully functional to the point that we can do whatever He has in mind all the way till He's finished. And that's the way it is. And God, You've done that for us. And God, You're doing it. Uh-huh. That's why You can say thank You in everything. But I don't understand it all. But I didn't ask You to understand it at all. What we're to do is understand that God, it's all working together in Your wonderful will, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's what we're going to do. And so, God, we're going to be thankful in all, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 5, and in verse 20. So, and you know the other, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, all rejoice in the Lord always. In everything give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God. The will of God for you. In everything to give thanks. That's a command. And the reason, I'm trying to give you a reason, because you say, well, there's nothing to be thankful about. Hold it. God didn't stop. God didn't quit at all. God hasn't disappeared. The body belongs to God. My problem is that we live in the past, carry the past, blocking and hindering enjoyment of the present, because we've got all those things in our mind that aren't even relevant. And we have them. So we want to be able to be full and fresh to be able to take on the day. And God, whatever state you're in, that's what you want to do. You want to have that advantage. And if you have a whole lot of other stuff, yesterday's, then you can't do that. So now, God, You want us to be thankful in everything because your body belongs to You. We're looking to understand Your calling, Your inheritance, Ephesians 1:18, Your inheritance in the believing heart, Your Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, that's what I want. Do you understand that? Then don't, there's no such thing as, and think of all the things that would be in your life if I didn't stop them. All kinds of, think of all the, well, not some of you people, perfect drivers, but think, how many accidents would have been? You might have got clipped. I'd have been dead 30 or 40 times if it wasn't for Jeanette. I mean, what can I tell you? You know. That's all right, I'm glad. You know, I say, don't be a backseat driver. No, I don't care if you're a front seat driver. If you say, if you're wrong, no problem. And if I'm wrong, thank you for saying it. Otherwise, I'd be clipped. So you say whatever you have to say, within reason. Within reason. Within reason. Now, so here we are, God. And we're looking. So, God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to leave. We're going to live in the present. And we're going to leave. And we're looking. We're looking what? Into the future with understanding. Uh-huh, we are looking into the future. Now, what kind of future do I need to look at that will help me all the way back to where I am right now? Over to 1 Corinthians. And to chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And picking up, if I may, in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive on planet Earth shall be changed. So what are we looking? We're looking to be changed. Uh-huh. That's what we're looking for. And, well, you're here, and in Philippians chapter 3, all kinds of places to remind us, we're looking for something wonderful happen. And you don't have to be in a body decrepit and falling apart to want that. It isn't about your body having a better body. It's about who you're going to see and how is it going to be. And that's quite different. And once you get a glimpse of that, so all of a sudden, you weren't trying to go to Disneyland. We're trying to get to God. And God is something else. In fact, he says it. I'm waiting for you to get there. To what? To see my glory. I'm waiting for you to get there to see my glory. There must be something. Wow. Now, God, you're waiting. Uh-huh, I am. So you're waiting. You're coming. We're waiting for you, and you're waiting for us to get there. Uh-huh, I am. Now, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. 3 and 20. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body of humiliation, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So God, here we are, we're looking into the future with understanding, and we understand that things are going to be changed dramatically, dynamically, in every way. They're going to be changed. We're all going to be changed in a most awesome way. We're going to be changed. And we're going to be changed, and we want to have understanding. We want to have understanding. We're looking in the future with understanding. I'm going to be changed. And so I'm going to be changed. Then I'm going to look into the future with understanding, with by faith. So by God, we're looking to you. By faith, to look to you. Over in Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 2. We're going to do it by faith. We're saved by faith, remember, in verse 8. And sliding down, if I can, by faith. And in chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God, whatever you have in mind, why we're still here, with thanksgiving, we're looking into the future. I haven't got into the next 10 minutes yet. I haven't lived it yet. But God, it's ahead of me. It's the next 15 minutes is ahead of me. Uh-huh, it is. It is, no question. And you have a wonderful plan that you're going to work out, inch by inch, year by year. As long as I'm here, you have a wonderful thing you're going to work out. And you had that plan in mind about each of us before anything was ever created. How's that? He said, listen, I have a sheet. I said, never sheet. I have it. Let me tell you the plan. Here's your plan. Now, I want you to live in the present. Living in the present. not leaving the past, looking into the future, where you're going to go the next 15 minutes, be trusting me. My plan, that's what's going to happen. I know all about everything, everyone, everywhere, every person, feeling, everything that you could ever come up against in any way, shape, or form. You're headed there. I already know that. If you don't mind, keep trusting me. I have a thing in mind, so go. Now, you're looking ahead. So, God, here we are looking with understanding, and we're looking ahead by faith. We're going to look by faith. And by faith, and looking for that blessed hope in the process, we're going to be changed. Titus 2:13. We're going to be changed in a marvel, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to do it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Every time, understanding. God, by faith, you walk by faith. And you're always going to be thankful. Yesterday's, thankful. Right now, thankful. In the light of what's ahead, thankful that there is something. It isn't a hit and miss. It isn't a something. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. No, it will. That's what you're looking for, God's will for your life. And that's what God is going to outwork. God's will for your life, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, to outwork his life in you. That's what it's about. So you go down the corridor of time, and you're going down now. And if you can, if you're in Ephesians, here, chapter 2, Ephesians, and then chapter 2, verse 6, with thanksgiving, and hath raised us up, verse 6, and hath raised us up together, 2 and 6, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace he is saved through faith. So God, here we are, and we have a wonderful, wonderful future. And we're looking, and we're going to be changed. You're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And God, we're already there. We're already there. You already put us there when the Lord Jesus Christ sat on that throne, as it were, in his own body, physical body. You were there too. God took you there. Wherever the head goes, the body goes. And the body's still here waiting to go. That's right, waiting to go. Changed, the twinkling of an eye. So here we are, God, and we're looking. We're seated. We're already there. So whatever you got now, think of 2 Corinthians 4 in that. The present, your body is perishing. Why should I bought? Over 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians. For this cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, one day at a time, living in the present, looking to the future. For the light affliction of the moment, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, something tomorrow, while we look not at the things which are seen, the pay, the work, the government, the health, the wealth, and everything else, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are only here for a moment. The things which are not seen are eternal. So God, we're looking for that which lies ahead. A wonderful, wonderful thing. So God, we understand. We want to understand that. We want to go by faith, and we want to do it with thanksgiving. Wonderful, wonderful thanksgiving, God. And while you're here, go over, if you would, to, you're not far away, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And chapter 15, remember we read in verse 51, 52, we'll all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. Slide all the way down now for time's sake. If I can, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But, thanks be to the Lord, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, we're there. So, everything, we're perishing. We just read that. So, we got a lot of problems. So, a lot of things. It's part of being on the planet Earth. It's part of the consequence of sin. a wonderful God saving grace to save us in the midst of it all. Now, in the process of all of that, in God's wonderful care. So God, here we are looking. And if we can, looking into the future. Now, and we can do all of that. We can leave the past, living in the present, looking to the future. All of that, dear friend, all the while we are living in God's eternity, God's timelessness. There is no calendar. There is no clock. When you received the Lord as your Savior, He gave you eternal life. And that has no clock and no calendar. So how can we handle this? Leaving the past, living in the present, looking to the future. All the while, we enjoy a life. And he that hath the Son hath life. And that life is timeless. There's no time to it. There's no clock. So that means that all the wonderful things will be changed in how fast? Twinkling of an eye. Why doesn't it take longer? Because you already have something. You already have life. Absent from the body, think of 2 Corinthians. Absent from the body what? Present with the Lord. How can that be? Because you already have something. And that's how you can handle the past, the present, and the future. And you don't let yesterday get in the way of the present, and you don't let the future get in the way. You let the future be an encouragement, a hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's a wonderful thing. So we can handle the moment. Sufficient of the day, Matthew 7, sufficient today is enough evil, trouble, just being alive on planet Earth. Why don't you just trust God? Tomorrow will add and give you something else. Just work today. Live today. Honor today in a most wonderful way. Now, in the process, over if you would to 1 John. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And you'll pick it up. John chapter 14. And I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to lead you into a new year correctly. So you can enjoy. You can throw the calendar away and everything's all gone. The bills still are there. The pills are still there. But hey, it's a whole new thing. And that, the world can't get it. But you can if you're saved, because you're already a new creature in what? In Christ. And that newness is right now. And all you're learning to do and practice is practice that newness. I can leave the past very, very effectively. John chapter 14, our Lord said it to the disciples, the apostles in the upper room, as you know. I'll read it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I don't bother telling you things that aren't anything. I go to prepare a place for you. Therefore, God, you're going ahead of us to be able to get make sure everything's ready. Mm-hmm. And if I go, and I did, and I prepare a place for you, and I am, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What for? That where I am, there you may be. So I'm looking for you to be in the place I've prepared for you. That's pretty good. And thus, chapter 17. You know, chapter 17, it closes verse 24. Father, 17:24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That, what for? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So the reason you sent God the Father sent God the Son, and all of that wonderful, wonderful glory and the majesty to bring us to God, to be able to come and understand the wonderful benefits we have. And that's what the incentive is. That's how you handle disappointment. You don't have that. Discouragement, depression, you can have all of those things. But, God, when I look at it in the light of being saved, it all disappears. That's right. So you want to live in the present with understanding, by faith, walk by faith, with great thanksgiving. And you proceed. School, work, home, you got all the same problems that you had. If the Lord tarries and we make it to next year, calendar-wise, if we make it, then everything's going to be the same. You're going to live in the same body. You have the same allergies. You have the same other stuff you have. It isn't gone away. You got it. You inherited it from all of us. So we all gave it to everyone else in the past, gave you all the stuff you got. So be of good cheer. You just live long enough to give it to somebody else. And you give everyone else the same problems that you got in one form or another. So God, here we are. So we're looking to you to deal with us in a wonderful way. And God, we thank you very much for doing so. So I'm waiting for you, said God. Even so, come.